A Midwinter Dream, written by Ineffabilitia, read by Kate Starks. Sirius watched Remus stare out the window of the Hogwarts Express. He was brooding, and it was ruining all his plans for their time alone on the train. When he'd found out that both James and Peter were staying at Hogwarts this Christmas, he'd immediately seen one big advantage. He and Moony, alone in a compartment for the train ride back to London. Considering how hard it was for them to be alone anywhere at Hogwarts, the opportunity had to be seized and exploited to its fullest. And at first, things had gone exactly according to his plan. They'd tumbled into one of the back compartments and were kissing, even before the door slid shut behind them. Since they had the whole train ride ahead of them, Sirius's plan had been not to rush things, to try and make this different from the frenzied snogging sessions they fit in whenever they could at Hogwarts. But this was Remus, and Sirius didn't think he could ever get enough of him. And he was a 15-year-old boy, after all, as was Remus, for that matter. And he did have needs. So, even though he started out with soft, gentle, slow kisses all over Moony's gorgeous face and ears and neck, pretty soon they were right back to frenzied. They'd had to break apart, reluctantly, when they heard the witch with the snacks trolley coming down the corridor. Sirius had stepped out of the compartment to buy them some pumpkin juice. Kissing was thirsty work. And he'd come back in to find Remus just where he was now, staring out the window and looking distant. He'd sat down next to him and handed him the pumpkin juice, which Remus had taken and was occasionally sipping distractedly. If things had still been going according to plan, Moony, crazed with desire due to Sirius's more proximity, would have turned away from the window and promptly begun kissing him again. The original plan called, at this point, for frenzy. But since it had already done that, Sirius could even have been okay with altering the plan and attempting soft and slow again. Since Remus seemed to be in a more contemplative mood. But instead of either of these pleasant alternatives, the plan went all to hell. As Remus continued to stare out the window, not only not kissing Sirius, but not talking either. Sirius sat quietly next to Remus for quite some time, hoping the plan would kick in again, but eventually he felt foolish and had to break the silence. "What do you see out there that's so interesting, Moony?" More interesting than kissing him, apparently. Which should take some doing, and much less enjoyable, to judge from Remus's sudden shift in mood. "What?" Remus started, as if he had been in a trance. "Oh, nothing." Sirius was pretty sure Remus was lying. He was still not entirely sure how staring distractedly out a window could be preferable to kissing him. But he was entirely certain that staring distractedly out a window at nothing at all was not only not something Moony would put on his higher to-do list than snogging Sirius, it could not have put him in such a glum mood when he had been so enthusiastic only minutes before either. Well, at least he had him talking again. Talking wasn't kissing, but they did both use mouths, so he was on the right track. Sirius stared out to the window too, over Remus's shoulder. He remarked on what seemed to him the most notable aspect of the view, though it was still a far cry from his kissing prowess in terms of appeal. "It's getting dark out there, isn't it, with the sun setting behind us? The train casts such a large shadow." "Shadows," Remus repeated numbly. "I was watching the shadows. Don't they look ominous?" "I suppose so." Sirius felt entirely at sea. Which was an especially odd feeling considering he was on a train which ran on tracks, so In theory, it was not possible to get off course at all, let alone end up at sea. Though, with an enchanted train, you never could tell. The train was like his plan. It had a starting point and a destination and a nice, direct route between. Remus's mood, his newfound interest in staring out windows at ominous shadows, were the ocean he suddenly found himself on. Though, it was certainly restful. There were no landmarks to help guide him back to the train tracks of Snogging. Sirius found himself wishing for a lighthouse, and at that point, even he realized he had stretched his mixed transportation metaphor to the breaking point. What he needed was a new plan, a plan to get Remus to stop staring out the window. Then he could return to his original plan. This new plan would have to be brilliant, if it was to compete with the fascinating shadows. It would have to be simple, so as to waste as little kissing time as possible. For the same reason, he would also have to devise the new plan very quickly. Sirius concentrated all his marauder genius on the problem at hand, and was quite pleased when, only moments later, he came up with what he was quite sure was his fourth most brilliant idea of all time. "Mooney," he whispered, right in his ear. This was the first brilliant aspect of the brilliant plan. Remus had once told him that his ears were his third most erogenous zone. "Mooney, close your eyes." Remus did so right away, which, while of course coming as no surprise at all to Sirius, since this was his fourth best idea ever, after all, was still a bit of a relief, as he hadn't had time to come up with a contingency plan, as this plan was already itself a sort of contingency plan, since in the original plan there was no staring out the window, only kissing, etc. That was the fatal flaw of his original plan. He realized you always had a contingency plan, as improvising sometimes led to brilliant ideas, such as the one he had just executed, more often led to disaster. Remus's voice distracted him from the ponderings upon the nature of a good idea. "Did I close my eyes for a reason, Pabfoot?" He sounded amused, but he might be verging towards testy, and that wouldn't do at all, as it would necessitate yet another plan to get back on track. And while Sirius's keen marauder mind was more than capable of keeping track of dozens, nay, hundreds of plans at once, it was all getting to be a bit much when he wasn't even attempting to execute a clever prank, but just wanted to kiss his boyfriend. So he immediately put phase two of his brilliant idea into operation. He brushed Mooney's cheek with his fingertips. "What was that?" Remus asked. Good. He was playing along. Sirius had to admit to himself that the plan did require a certain amount of playing along on Mooney's part, but he was always such a good sport about such things. "I think," he replied, in between soft, soft, soft kisses down Mooney's neck, "it was a spider." The plan took into account the fact that Remus was not afraid of spiders, because it was, after all, a brilliant plan. "It just ran down your neck." "I felt it," Remus shivered, quite convincingly. He even had goose pimples. "Where did it go?" "Down the neck of your shirt. Should I look for it?" Again, with the whispering in the air. He knew this plan couldn't fail. If this next bit just worked, and he had every confidence it would, they'd be better than back on track. "Yes, please." "Time to sound suave. You know, Mooney, now that the spider, has gone down your shirt, it would be much easier to find it if I just took off your shirt. Purely in the interest of spider finding, of course." Sirius would have winked at this last bit, but Remus still had his eyes closed, so it would be sort of a waste of a wink. Remus didn't say anything in response, but he tilted his head in what Sirius would term an inviting manner. So he proceeded to divest him of his t-shirt. Remus obligingly lifted his arms and helped get it over his head. So he supposed the head tilt had indeed been a yes, as he casually tossed the shirt over his shoulder and onto the seat. He noticed that Remus had opened his eyes. He hadn't told him he could, but then again, he hadn't told him he couldn't. Sirius was evaluating whether the plan at this point could go forward, with a Remus who could see. When his next words made it quite clear that that would, in fact, be just as brilliant as his original intent. Oh dear. Now it was Sirius's turn to play along, he sensed. Luckily for Mooney, he too was a good sport.
What?
When you took off my shirt, I'm afraid the spider transferred its affections to you. I just saw it disappear down the collar of your shirt. I suppose you should look for it then.